¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes. ¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
We've been listening to your calls, Joseph. Not one. All of them. And I'm never getting those moments back of my life. Every recorded conversation between you and Kendra from inside Washington County Detention Center, calls you knew were being monitored, calls you knew were being recorded, and calls you made anyway. We heard the early ones where Kendra told you which brothers were stepping in. We heard the business calls about the rental property. We heard the Bible talk, the prayer talk, the one day at a time talk. We heard Anna remind you not to say anything incriminating. We heard Jim Bob's emails. We've heard enough. And across every single call, every minute, every recorded word between a man allegedly facing life felonies for what he did to a child and a wife facing her own criminal charges, one thing stays constant. You never mention the victim. You never pray for her. You never say her name. You never acknowledge she exists. Not once, not at any call, not in any context. You erased her, Joseph, completely. As if she was never real, because I'm going to guess she wasn't to you ever. She was just another body. Another one for the count, right? How many are in that count, Joseph? And I'm not talking adult count. I'm not talking like that. I'm talking the reason you're going away for the rest of your life type count. Oh, you're not there yet. No, you're not quite. Not quite, in my opinion. You might be heading there. Unless the heavens open up and the prisons are set free and all the righteous men have been wrongfully accused of these crimes that you have now been able to minister to. Because remember, it's a ministry, according to Jim Bob. Are set free, been able to walk the world amongst us. And we're all about, oh, thank you. Welcome back to the world, you wonderful healed human beings. The reality is people like you are never healed, which is why many countries just eliminate you from the world entirely. They go, you know what? There ain't no healing this. And anybody who uses the sentence, I didn't have pure intent with a 9-year-old, in my book, is one of those folks who really can be exterminated from the planet and we can call it a much better place. That's my opinion. And the opinion of a lot of people, probably most people, quite honestly. You serve no more intent. You serve no more purpose. Your children will be better off with you being gone. Not just in prison. Gone. Gone. In my opinion. The latest call is the one that makes it undeniable because by now the shock is gone. The adrenaline is done. You've been sitting in solitary for over a week on these calls. You've had time to think. You've had time to sit alone with what you allegedly did and let it settle the way it should when you've allegedly destroyed a child's life. And what settled into you after a week in that cell isn't guilt. It's a Bible study routine. An opinion on translations and conversation about cleaning schedules for your vacation rental. That's who you are. Not the version performing on these calls. The repentant Christian finding God in his darkest hour. The real one underneath, the one who has never once in his life seen another human being as fully real
You allegedly confessed to Florida law enforcement, a confession investigators reportedly took careful steps to preserve so it holds up in court. You are facing life felonies in Bay County. Your wife has been arrested. False imprisonment, child endangerment. And those are the charges. The actual stories we're hearing from inside your house of horrors is pretty horrific. My question, honestly, on some of that, I'm not going to go into those accusations. There's a lot of places you can find them. But my question about the level of alleged depravity that was going on in your home and lack of parenting, lack of caring for your children, safe sanitary conditions, some may judge, in my opinion, at least. Look, I know a lot of your family is effed, but why is nobody stepping in going, come on. We're the Duggars. We're not an episode of Hoarders. We're not an episode of, it's like, what is going on here? Where it seems y'all have the inability to do basic parenting for your children, to the point where the state had to come in and say, yeah, your kids are going somewhere else. And we don't even trust your family with them. We don't even trust giving them to one of your gazillion brothers or sisters or your parents. We're putting them into state custody. That's an interesting move. That tells me they don't trust a lot of the folks in your circle. And it's not the devil, and it's not you being persecuted for being a good Christian man, and you're not going to find the answer in Psalms. You're going to find the answer in being a fucking human being and being responsible for your actions and being accountable for your actions and understand there's cause and effect for your stupid behavior. That's where you're going to find that. But keep looking up Psalms. Keep telling your wife Psalms. And please, for the love of God, keep never seeing your children again. For their own sake, in my opinion. That would be the best damn thing for your children, is if you just disappeared from this world. And you were just a footnote they learn about later. Oh, that, I guess, was my dad. Yeah, he was kind of a piece of shit. I'm going to thank God someone else has stepped in and rescued us from this nightmare, in my opinion. Your children are removed from a home where, according to reports, locks were on the outside of bedroom doors, conditions were allegedly unsanitary, and your kids were allegedly not being educated. Everything you built is rubble, Joseph. And on this call, close to 30 minutes, you're talking about the Guesty app. Which brothers are available to clean the rental? Whether to sell the tool trailer? You're managing an Airbnb from solitary confinement while someone, somewhere, a child, one might say, is carrying what you allegedly did to her in her body, in her sleep, in every room she walks into for the rest of her life while you figure out your Airbnb situation. And her sister gets IVs and still calls herself your wife. You guys got some amazing abilities to brainwash people. Holy shit, you should be studied, honestly. I mean, it's not hard to brainwash people, but my God, I mean, masterclass in that. I don't know if it's something you want to put on your resume, but Jesus. Literally, Jesus, what's going on? In my opinion, you told Kendra your words. I feel upset that I'm even in this situation. You're upset that you're even in this situation? Even in this situation, like it landed on you. Like you had nothing to do with it. You're upset, Joseph. Oh, not shattered by what you allegedly did to a child, not unable to breathe. Upset. Oh, you're upset. You are the person you feel sorry for?
You've always been the only person you feel sorry for. So I guess it tracks. And you know what's remarkable? You've been reading your Bible for hours a day in your cell. You're on admission. Hours. You told Kendra you prayed for a couple hours straight. You've been through Psalms, Ruth, 2 Chronicles. You're deep in it.
Joseph, you've had the entire Word of God in front of you for over a week with nothing else to do but read it. And somehow, you landed on Ruth, the redemption story. The outcast shown mercy, the rejected one restored by love. You told Kendra it really encouraged you. You see yourself in Ruth. Don't you, Joseph? The person the world threw away, who deserves grace from someone powerful enough to offer it.
You're delusional as fuck. You read Ruth. You skip Matthew, because if you read Matthew 18, and you know this verse, Joseph, maybe you do. I don't know. I mean, I know the IBLP only kind of gave you their greatest hits of the Bible of what they could, you know, put piece together to serve their purpose. So maybe you do, maybe you don't. I don't know. For those of us who've actually read the fucking thing, here's what it says. Okay. If you read Matthew 18 and you know this verse, Joseph, maybe you grew up with it. Maybe you didn't. I don't know. You'd have read Jesus Christ himself saying that if anyone causes harm to one of the little ones, it would be better for that person to have a millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Let's get on a boat. Let's go do what Jesus talked about, Joseph. Let's go save the world. That's not me talking. That's not some opinion commenter inserting or interpreting scripture. That's Jesus, the person you claim to be praying to in a cell, the person you claim is walking you through this. He said it would be better for you to be dead than to do what you allegedly did. Better, not forgiven, not redeemed, not restored like Ruth, dead. At the bottom of the ocean with a stone around your neck. That's what your Savior said about people like you and your brother and God knows who else. You skipped that part. You went straight to Ruth. You know what else is in that Bible you've been reading for hours? Mark 9:42, same message, same warning. Anyone who causes a little one to stumble, better to be thrown into the sea. Luke 17:2, same thing again, three times, three different gospels, three separate witnesses recording the same words from the same Jesus. He wanted to make sure nobody missed it. He wanted to make sure that men exactly like you, Joseph, understood that there is no version of this where you come out restored. There is no Ruth for what you're accused of. There is no Boaz showing up to redeem you. There's a millstone and there's the sea. He told your counselor on this call, I know that your words say you love me. I don't feel it. Your counselor essentially being your wife. You want to know why you don't feel it, Joseph? Because God's word also says what's waiting for people who harm children. And that part you feel. Whether you admit it or not, that's the one thing sitting in your chest when the lights go out and you can't sleep and the Bible app is off and there's nobody to perform it. That's the verse you cannot outrun. Not the book of Ruth. Matthew 18:6. That's the one that's yours. You switched Bible translations, told Kendra you were so entrenched in King James, we couldn't see any other way. You know what that really is? That's a man whose operating system failed him. The Jim Bob playbook. Confess. Apologize. Say your intentions weren't pure. God forgives. Dad handles it. The system is reportedly what got you arrested. The system. You followed it exactly. And it handed prosecutors their case, basically. So you're shopping for new packaging. Same God, different font. But here's the thing about scripture. Joseph, it doesn't change when you switch translations. Matthew 18:16 says the same thing in NLT. It says the same thing in King James. The millstone doesn't get lighter because you switch to the new modern English version. I want to talk to you about
the God you think is in that cell with you. Because the God of the Bible, the actual one, not the Jim Bob version, has a clear position on children. Psalm 82 says, to defend the weak, uphold the cause of the oppressed, rescue the needy from the hand of the wicked. Matthew 25 says that whatever you do to the rest, to the least of these, you do to Jesus himself. Your own faith tells you that when you allegedly harmed that child, you did it to the face of the God you claim is comforting you right now. That's not my interpretation, Joseph. That's the text, the same text you've been reading for hours. You prayed for a couple of hours the night before this call. You told Kendra that. Hours of prayer. Want to know who you prayed for, yourself, your family, y'all, you said. You prayed for y'all. Not once in this call, not in any call, did you pray for the child. She doesn't exist in your prayer life. She doesn't exist in your spiritual practice. The girl you allegedly harmed is not in your prayers, Joseph. And the God you're praying to knows it. You can fool Kendra. You can fool Jim Bob. You cannot fool the God you claim is listening to you for 2 hours at a time, while you never once mentioned the child you allegedly destroyed. You told Kendra on this call, our view of God, our view. I like how you're like including everyone in the group. That's nice. It's you. When you, it's just classic narcissistic behavior. Let's include everyone in what my view is and say our view of God has been tainted by the people around us. That's your exact wording. Our, really? And the quick cleanup. Not that that's an excuse. But the work was done. The message planted. The problem isn't what you allegedly did, Joseph. The problem is other people, outside influences, a corrupted system. That's why you're in that cell. Not because of your hands and your impure intentions. Which, again, I don't understand how that even works in a sentence where the other part of the sentence involves a word. 9-year-old. Anybody who's like uttering that phrase, the word unpure intentions or not pure intentions, and the word 9-year-old in the same sentence, I've got a fucking millstone for you and a boat. Come on, let's go fishing. Because of their failures, you are redistributing blame for what you allegedly did to a child across an entire community, so there's not enough left on you to feel heavy. And you're doing it with scripture. You're gaslighting your wife with God. And she's letting you because that's what she was trained to do. Kendra told you everybody loves you, even if they're disappointed. Disappointed! Like you tracked mud on the carpet. And you accepted it. I understand the disappointment. Because that word is survivable. It fades. It forgives. If you can keep the language as disappointed, you never have to hear the real word for what you're accused of. Kendra, your little flying monkey there, is building you a cushion of soft language from the other end of that phone. And you need her to, because the real words, the ones in the courtroom, the ones in the affidavit, the ones Jesus used in Matthew 18, the words have weight you can't carry. So you let your wife carry lighter ones for you. And then Kendra warned you to be careful what we put on the messaging system. She's not protecting your soul, Joseph. She's protecting your case. She's your handler. And she's trying to be good at it. Coordinating cleaners, managing schedules, tracking which brothers are traveling, loading money on your phone account, all while facing her own criminal charges for what was allegedly happening in your home. And she's trying to do this competently, being organized, and trying to function while getting IVs and not eating as the family takes her to amusement parks. Allegedly. And they circle the wagons of narcissism that they have been bamboozled into believing is somehow biblical and not a cluster B personality disorder operating as a family, in my opinion. So I'll say what nobody in her life will. Kendra Duggar is 27 freaking years old. She's a grown-ass woman. All right? I'm starting to lose a lot of patience over here with this. I mean, you got a door, you got a window, Kendra. You got to use it because we're going to start being blunt about reality for you too. You're a grown-ass woman who, according to reporting, was in a home with locks on the outside of your children's bedrooms doors, with conditions allegedly so bad, the state took your kids. And you're choosing to call him and discuss business logistics instead of asking what you did, why you did it. She's choosing to tell you everybody loves you instead of demanding answers. She's choosing to even have these conversations with you and not just operate it on her own. Nobody needs you anymore. She's choosing your comfort over your children's safety. She is doing it with the competence of a person fully capable of making a different choice. Being raised in a cult is real. Being responsible for what you do with the information in front of you is also real. And joining an occult as an adult is also a choice. Those two things live in the same body. And right now, Kendra is using every bit of her capability to protect the man who allegedly brought all of this down on her family. The cult has essentially told Kendra she has no power, Joseph, in my opinion. But, you know, she does. You've relied on it your whole marriage. You just need it aimed at you, at your protection, your comfort, your narrative. And not the children who actually need it. No, who? They'll survive, right? They're not going to have any issues later in life. They're not going to write tell-all books or end up on a Dateline episode for something horrible at some point in time. Nah, that will never happen. We'll go back to this clip at some point, 20, 30 years from now, and be like, hey, remember when you called it that one of the Duggar kids was going to be on Dateline for doing something horrible? Hi. I mean, I'm not talking about you and your brother. I'm talking you raise children in this environment. The odds are pretty high that you're going to have one that's going to do something absolutely stunningly horrible. Let's hope that doesn't take place, but you're kind of setting up the recipe for disaster with this type of chaos around kids. You watched your brother go through this. You lived in that house. You saw what Josh allegedly did to your own sisters. You watched the cover-up. You watched Jill get shunned for speaking. You watched Joy carry it in silence. You had the clearest possible warning, years of it, right in front of your face about what happens when a man raised by Jim Bob follows the path you're accused of following. I'm not accusing Jim Bob of anything. Might make that clear. Everything in this piece is in my opinion, and allegedly. And according to the state of Florida, you allegedly followed all of this anyway. You're not a cautionary tale, Joseph. You're Josh's sequel, a shitty one too. Same system, same enabling, same father running the same playbook, same family closing ranks. Jim Bob allegedly acknowledged your guilt in an email and compared you to a falsely accused biblical figure in the same paragraph, because that's only the way he can probably process this shit too. You did this, but also the enemy is persecuting you both at once. That's not faith. That's a man keeping you psychologically suspended so you never have to commit to the truth. You can feel remorseful on the phone and plead not guilty in the courtroom, and neither one contradicts each other because Daddy said both are true. Oh, but Daddy didn't write Matthew 18:6. Jesus did, actually, and Jesus ain't Jim Bob. And Jesus was specific. He wasn't ambiguous. He wasn't sending mixed signals. He said, what's waiting for people who harm children? And he said it three times in the three different gospels to make sure nobody could claim they missed it. But you did. You missed it, Joseph, or you didn't miss it, or you just chose Ruth instead. You chose the version of the Bible where you're the sympathetic character and you left the millstone. We left that verse on the shelf. because it didn't fit the story you're trying to tell yourself. It's not one you're like going to fall asleep well to. Oh, let me fall asleep. I did horrible things at Millstone, bottom of the sea. Oh, that'll make you go to sleep well. The story you're telling yourself isn't the one that matters. The one that matters is the one the state of Florida is going to tell a jury. And the one that matters after that, if you believe what you say you believe, is the one where you stand in front of the God you've been praying to and explain why you spend hours reading about redemption and never once open to the part about what he does to men who hurt kids. You want to find God in that cell, Joseph? Stop reading Ruth. Instead, read Matthew 18. Read it out loud. Read it until you understand that the Jesus you're praying to is not on your side. He's on the side of the child you allegedly harmed. He's always been on her side. And the mercy you're looking for, the Boaz, the restoration, the redemption arc, you're workshopping or were workshopping from the concrete cell bench, it doesn't exist. Not for this. Your own faith says so. Three gospels, one millstone, and the sea. Your children are going to grow up, Joseph. They're small right now. They don't understand why they were taken from their home. They don't know what the charges mean. But one day they'll find these calls. They'll hear you talking about Bible translations and cleaning schedules and the Guesty app while their world was collapsing. They'll hear you say you were upset to be in this situation. They'll hear their mother tell you everybody loves you. They will hear the silence where their names should have been, where the victim's name should have been, where the one honest word should have been, and they will grow up and read the same Bible you've been performing your way through. And I hope they do, because they deserve better theology than what Jim Bob sells. And they'll find Matthew 18:6, and they'll understand that the God their father was praying to in that cell wasn't listening the way he thought. He was listening on behalf of the child their father never mentioned. That's your legacy, Joseph. Not Ruth, not redemption. Matthew 18:6, a millstone and the sea. And every recorded call where you had the chance to say one honest word and chose the Guesty app instead. The world Joseph Duggar built is gone. He didn't build much of one either. The one that replaces it, the one without him in it, will be a safer world for every child who was ever in his reach. And that's not a tragedy. That's the first good thing to come out of this entire story. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. I'd love for you to weigh in. You got to fight fire with fire sometimes. And sometimes if these people only speak in Bible verses, we can speak them right back. Except we're using the real one, not the IBLP Jim Bob workbook version. Sorry. Ours is accurate. And it tells a bit of a different story than the one you're trying to pitch. Again, your thoughts in the comment section, Substack, and YouTube. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.